echoey to me. I don't know how it sounds out there to folks, but it sounds echoey to me. And over the past 10 days, I was reminded of how much false teaching exists. Not only did I see it in the buildings of the landscape of the countries in which we visited, and you would see it all over, and of course we see it here as well, you would find that many times through conversation, as I would talk to these missionaries and inquire about other ministries and churches, and you would hear about this false teaching and that false teaching and this situation going on. And I am thankful for solid churches that are faithfully preaching the Word of God, but at the same time, I'm concerned about the influence of false teaching. We know that this is nothing new. In fact, the text of Scripture that we're going to look at here at 2 Peter chapter 2 reminds us that throughout the Old Testament there were false prophets. We can read throughout the pages of the Old Testament. We can see example after example of these false prophets. And the writer, Peter here, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, tells us that just as there were false prophets, that there would be false teachers. And so we're reminded that throughout the entirety of the church age, there will be false teachers. Paul dealt with it. Peter dealt with it. John dealt with it. The folks that were throughout church history, they've always had to deal with the existence of false teachers. The Lord graciously reminded me that His Word provides protection for His children. Many times as I've preached on the Word of God and just various aspects about God's Word, we've rejoiced in understanding that God's Word is given by inspiration. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. We've spoken about how God's Word is profitable, how God's Word is powerful, how God's Word is preserved, and we've gone on, and we've talked about so many various aspects of God's Word and what it does for us. But I was reminded on how God's Word protects us. And in the industry and in the world, if you think about various types of industry, they have what they call PPE. And that PPE stands for personal protective equipment. Some of you might be familiar with some of that in the places in which you work and what you do. And I remember while I worked at Sikorsky, and of course they're building helicopters and various things that would take place out there on the assembly line, and there were certain things that they were required, depending on the particular jobs that they were doing, there were certain PPE that was necessary, that was required. The equipment provided will provide protection, but only when it's utilized. Think about that just for a moment. The PPE that's sitting on the shelf for the factory worker, it's provided, it's there, it's available. But if that factory worker decides that they're going to do the job without actually using the PPE, then that equipment does zero for them. Is it right? Is it true? And there are times in which we think about maybe using some gloves, you're doing some work, or maybe you're using a chainsaw. How many of you use a chainsaw before? I think it's therapeutic to use a chainsaw, amen? And but it's also dangerous to use a chainsaw. And people have had major injuries from using a chainsaw, and there's equipment, there's certain things that you should wear, there's certain protective gear that you should use. Why? Because you're using a tool that's dangerous. You could easily cut off a limb, not from the tree, but from yourself. In like manner, the Word of God will provide you and provide me with protection from false teaching, but only as it's studied and applied. Your Bible that sits on a desk or on a shelf throughout the week that's not read or opened and studied has the ability to provide you with the protection from false teaching, but if you don't actually take it and open it and study it and read it, the protection that it offers is unfortunately wasted in your life. Many times today, as we begin to think about the false teachers that exist and the false teaching that's so prevalent, we understand this evening that YouTube and internet, various aspects of internet, has permeated our society in the false teaching. There's a new platform in which they have to get that false teaching into the minds and hearts of people all across the land. And so this evening, I've simply entitled the message, Beware of False Teachers. Beware of False Teachers. We're going to look at a number of verses of Scripture this evening. We're going to start here in 2 Peter chapter 2. Notice what the Bible says. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. Notice the conduct or description that God provides us, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many, do you see that? Many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Wow, what a warning that God gives us here in 2 Peter chapter number 2 about the existence of false teachers. He says that there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. And then he begins to describe what they do and how they operate, what they their conduct is, and really what they're doing. Notice he says that they make merchandise of you. And how sad that is in verse number 3, but we've seen it historically. You can study and see how that very thing has played out. This evening, as we think about this truth of false teaching and beware of false teachers, the first thought that I have for you is the reality of false teaching. Listen, do not be deceived this evening to think that all teaching, if it says Christian, if it has the right label, that it's safe for your consumption. In fact, I preached a message last year from 1 Timothy as we went through that series, continue through 1 and 2 Timothy, and I preached a message that I entitled about our diet. And I talked about the importance of our diet, and I said, how's your diet? That was the title for the message. And I said this in the very opening statement of that message. I'm not talking about your physical diet. I'm talking about your spiritual diet. I'm not a dietitian. I'm a preacher. But the reality is this, we have today in our society a lot of people that are very concerned about their physical diet. I mean, to the point that they're checking labels of all sorts of things, whether or not it's organic or GMO and this and that and so on and so forth, and they're so concerned about the product that they're going to consume. But those same very people, unfortunately, do not take the time to investigate before they feast on some false teaching because, well, it said it was Christian. It had a label that I thought was safe. Listen, it's dangerous. There's a lot of false teaching out there. The reality of false teaching, we see it here in 2 Peter 2. Look at the book of 1 Timothy, if you will. And look at what Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 1. We understand that Paul is writing here to Timothy with regard to the responsibility that Timothy would have as he was ministering and serving. And we find that beginning in verse number 3 of 1 Timothy chapter 1, the Apostle Paul says, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus. Now it's very interesting. I'm going to try to tie all of this together this evening. There's an important truth that God gives us with regard to the church at Ephesus in Acts chapter 20. Don't turn there now, but we're going to be there before the end of the message this evening. And as you look in Acts chapter 20, what does Paul do? As he's going to Jerusalem, he calls for the Ephesian, the church of Ephesus, for those leaders of the church to come and meet with him. And he has conversation with them, and he instructs them, and he gives warning about false teachers, grievous wolves. And the concern that he had, remember, it's the church in Ephesus that is said in the book of Revelation, you've left your first love. So here, Timothy is left in Ephesus, and notice, I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some, notice what he says, that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions rather than godly edifying which is in faith, so do. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. Skip down and look at verse number 10. At the end of the verse it says, well, I'll read the whole verse. For whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is, look what he says, contrary to sound doctrine. Where do we get sound doctrine? It's got to be founded upon the truth of God's word. There's a phrase that I want you to remember. I'll share it at the end of the message, but a phrase that I want you to remember this evening is simply this: what saith the Scriptures? What does God's word say? I'm not asking what some church father said. I'm not asking what some so-called theologian said. I'm not caring about the number of degrees that an individual has. What I want to know is, what does God's word say? Amen? And listen, the authority of God's word far exceeds the level of credentials that some man might have. Are we in agreement tonight? You're kind of quiet on me, amen? Listen, you look more tired than I feel. Amen. Listen, it's like 1:20 in the morning to my body. Help me tonight, okay? Now listen, there's a lot of false teaching. I saw it for the last 10 days. All over the place, false teaching, not in the churches where I was, praise the Lord, but it just all over the landscape. A man stood in the pulpit on Sunday morning to give testimony of how God allowed the truth of God's word to be preached through Brother Haley in that church there, and how they had the opportunity to hear truth and be delivered from false teaching. And I heard the testimony over and over and over again. Why? Because it's a place where there's so much false teaching. They're in Belgium, also in Ireland. Oh man, Ireland, lots of false teaching. Tons of false teaching. I was aware of the Catholicism in Ireland. What I wasn't aware of is the pagan roots of Ireland. I had no idea of how pagan, wicked, and how it's still prevalent today. It's amazing. The sound doctrine. 1 Timothy chapter 4, look at what he continues to say in verse number 1 of 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats. By the way, go look that up and you'll see some places that teach that very thing. Amen? Amen. Seriously. It's like they could have just read the Bible and known that the Bible called them out on it before they started teaching it. Continue to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Do you see that? Which believe and know the truth. What did the Bible tell us? What did Jesus say in John chapter number 8? That you shall know the truth, and the truth is going to what? It's going to make you free. Amen? And he says that believe and know the truth, for every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. And then he tells them that if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, notice what he says, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. We see sound doctrine in chapter 1. We see good doctrine here. And we find that God told us in 2 Timothy chapter number 3 that His Word, all Scripture, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. And we find the importance in Titus chapter 1. We find that as Paul is writing here and Titus is left in Crete, this new place where he's going to be responsible for setting in place and ordaining elders and fulfilling the work that God had entrusted him to do, we find that the Bible tells us in verse number 10 of chapter 1, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. He says there's many of them. We find in Jude chapter 1, verse number 4, he tells them that there are certain men that have crept in unawares. What do? They turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. And we read that in Jude there is writing, and he says that it was needful for him to write that they would earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. As we tie this together with the church in Ephesus, I want you to look in Acts 20. We'll be there in a little while as well as we end the message. But look in Acts chapter 20 very quickly and notice what Paul says as we talk about the reality of false teaching. Listen, we must not have our heads in the sand. We must acknowledge this evening that false teaching not only exists, but is so prevalent today. I know people that spend hours upon hours upon hours on YouTube and barely open their Bible. By their own admission, it's dangerous. You'd be far better to spend hours in God's Word and maybe not get around to YouTube. Just a thought. Look at verse 29 of Acts chapter 20. For I know this. Do you see the confidence? Why does he have confidence? Because God's revealed it to him. Why does Peter speak with confidence about the false prophets and now there's going to be false teachers? Because God has revealed it. He says, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you. Notice what it says, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples. Notice what it says, after them. Sometimes people want a following. They want people to follow them. They want people to get on board with what they're... Listen, we need to follow Jesus and follow what he's taught. It'd be far better to say, I identify with the Lord and with his word than to say, well, I follow this theologian or that theologian. No, listen, men can err, but God doesn't. It's not possible that God can lie. Titus chapter 1, he cannot lie. And by the way, if he could, we might as well just go home. Seriously. But he cannot lie. Notice not only the reality of false teaching, but I want you to consider with me the reason for false teaching. The reason for false teaching. I believe that we see two thoughts that really lead us to the ultimate goal of why false teaching is prevalent, why it exists. But notice the reason for false teaching, number one, to deceive. To deceive. Notice what the Bible says here in the book of Ephesians. Turn over there again, packaging this with looking at the church at Ephesus there. And in chapter number 4, notice what the Bible says in verse number 14. And we'll look at a broader part of this text here in just a moment. But I want to jump in right there in verse number 14. Notice what the Bible says, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness. Notice what it says, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. How many of you like to be deceived? You're not kind of normal if you like being deceived. You understand what I'm saying? We don't like being lied to. We don't like being deceived. But we understand that the false teachers, it says that they lie in wait to deceive. In chapter 5, here in the book of Ephesians, in verse number 6, let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Listen, if God is warning about the deception, it's because that's what's taking place and people are being deceived. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 3, the Bible says, let no man deceive you. Let no man deceive you. See, how is it that we can be in a place, and we'll look at it as we finish up this evening, but where we can be in a place where you could say, I'm not going to be deceived. We better be students of the book. Know the Word of God. We find that not only do we see the Bible word of deceive, but we see a Bible word of beguile. Beguile. The word beguile means to delude or to deceive by false reasoning. And we see in the book of Colossians, in Colossians chapter 2, twice, the Bible references about this idea of them dealing with these false teachers that are seeking to beguile them. In fact, in verse number 8 of Colossians, we'll look at verse 4 to begin. Notice what the Bible says in Colossians 2 and verse number 4. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. Notice in verse number 8, he says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. Notice this, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. What was happening when you think about the start of the church? You think about the Judaizers, right? What were they doing? That was their tradition. They were coming in and they were trying to mingle what God had said with continuing to go forward and mingling these things and saying, well, you have to be circumcised after the manner of Moses if you're going to be saved. We see that dealt with in Acts 15. We find that throughout the New Testament, there's this idea of this Judaizer influence that's taking place. And we see a number of other people groups and groups of false teachers that were prevalent. And we find that, what is the reason? What are they doing? Why are they there? Well, they're deceiving, they're beguiling, but I ultimately believe that the greatest reason is satanic, and it's to blind. Look at what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You're familiar with it. I preached it just a couple of months ago as we're making our way through the book of 2 Corinthians, but we understand that ultimately Satan wants to blind people. He wants to blind them to the truth. We find that someone said this. I don't remember who it was. I did not write it down years ago when I read it, but a preacher of yesteryear, made the statement that they believed that one of the greatest books that the enemy could ever write is a book on theology. Think about that just for a moment. You know, we sometimes, again, we look at that label, oh, I'm in the Christian section. I'm in the theology section. Oh, be careful. Because there's much deception. Much deception. And notice what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, in verse number 4, in whom the, you see it's a little g god, that's Satan, in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Do you remember if the religious leaders asked Jesus in John chapter 9 after that man was healed that was blind? They had all that back and forth because Jesus healed the man that was blind, and they didn't really believe that he was born blind, and they were going back and forth, and that man eventually says, listen, all I know is I was blind and now I see. And he eventually asked them if they're going to be his disciples as well, and that really set him off. And a little while after that, they said this to Jesus, are we blind also? And the reality is that they were blind spiritually. They were not blind physically. You know, the worst blindness is spiritual blindness. And the little g god of this world wants you to be blind. Listen, Satan's okay with you being religious. He's perfectly fine with you being religious. By the way, he's perfectly fine with you going to church and doing all of the religious, dead orthodoxy stuff. He's perfectly fine with it. As long as you don't trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And there are churches, there are cults, denomination after denomination that teach, be a good person, your good works will get you to heaven. And guess what? Satan's perfectly fine with that because he knows the truth. He knows that you can't be saved by your good works. And he's perfectly fine to let some person get into some building and to teach some false gospel and lead people astray and keep them blinded. And oh, they're going through all of the motions, they're doing all of the stuff, and they're blind. They're blind. We walked into just a couple. I couldn't handle walking into many of them, but we walked into just a couple of these monstrosities of these buildings, so ornate and so huge and just, I mean, the biggest, most beautiful building in the entire place. And you walk in and it's just dead orthodoxy. It's dead. And people after individual after individual will go to those places and they'll think, I did my religious duty and I'm okay with God. What's the reason? Ultimately, to blind. I hope tonight there's not someone here that's blinded by the enemy. There's a lot of false teaching that exists. If you've been influenced by false teaching, I'll show you a picture on Sunday night. A man, I spent 35 minutes talking to a man in Belgium right on the street. I wish I could tell you that he got saved, but he didn't. But he knew he was lost when we got done, and he knew that Jesus was the only way to be saved. They had some questions. I kept sharing Bible with them and giving them Bible verses. He asked some good questions. And the reality is that he had been influenced by a lot of false teaching. And I didn't attack the false teaching. I simply asked questions to help him think. I said, listen, you believe, is that true? Yeah, that's what I believe. So if that's true, then how do you reconcile this? This is what the Bible says. You know, here's what I asked him. I asked this man multiple times during that 35-minute conversation, have you ever read the Bible? You know what his consistent answer was? No. But he thought he knew what the Bible said. How's that work? We find this evening God's given us the Bible to protect us. Don't be deceived by false teaching. Don't be blinded. Listen, if you're saved, you can still be deceived by false teaching. What does Paul say to those in Galatians? He said, you started in faith, right? He said, you did run well. Who hindered you that you should not obey the truth? Isn't that what he said in the book of Galatians? So listen, you might sit here tonight and you say, I'm saved. I've been saved by the grace of God. Hallelujah. But can I tell you, you need to be careful because false teaching exists. All of a sudden you get off somewhere on some, well, this guy said and this theologian said and look at all these people that follow this and many shall follow their pernicious ways, as the Bible said in 2 Peter. We looked at it in the beginning of the message. So what's the remedy for false teaching? What's the remedy? I already said it by way of introduction. It's the Bible. Truth is always the answer to error. Always. Truth. So we've got to know the truth. God's given us truth. But just like that factory worker, just like the medical worker, that the PPE is there. I remember the first time I ever went to the hospital to visit someone. Samantha, help me out. There's a spreadable thing you got to put all this gear on if you're going to go visit. MRSA or something, what is it called? MRSA, yeah. Yeah, you got to put on this gown and everything. Man, I just walked right up into the room. Walk right past that thing, and I'm visiting the person, talking to him, like all this stuff, and the doctor walks in, oh! Like they were panicked, man. It was hilarious. I'm like, what did I do? You don't have the gown on. You don't have all this. I was like, I had no idea. Didn't you see it all sitting there? I saw. I walked right past it. But it didn't do anything for me. Why? Because I didn't put it on. I didn't put it on. You have a Bible. I believe the King James Bible. Amen? We stand on it. And the reality is that we can talk about having the Bible, the right Bible. We can talk about inspiration and preservation. But until you read it, and until you apply it, it's not going to do anything for you. It's just not. Look what the Bible says in Acts chapter 20. I told you we would circle back to Acts chapter 20. Notice what God says. As Paul is instructing these leaders of the church at Ephesus, before he tells them in verse 29 and 30 about those grievous wolves that would enter in, he tells them this in verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. Notice, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. How do you feed the church of God? Is he telling them to set up a kitchen and to serve meals and to have a buffet lunch after services on Sunday? No, he's not talking about physical food. He's talking about opening up the bread of life, taking the word of God, manna from heaven, as the songwriter said, and taking and giving the spiritual nourishment that will build us up, that will protect us from false teaching. A man visited our church years ago. Actually, it was two men. They were elders from another church in the area. They visited our church on a Sunday morning. And they visited our church on a Sunday morning because they were looking for a church to rent for their own church. And so they came here to find out if they could rent our property. And here's what they said when they left. And I don't say this to pat myself on the back in any way, shape, or form, but here's what they said. Do you feed your congregation this way every week? And I said, is that not my job? To open up the Word of God, and to feed the flock of God. That's the job of the pastor. And we find this evening that God has given to a church, a pastor. Look in Ephesians chapter 4. Again, as we notice all of this emphasis with regard to the church at Ephesus, notice what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4. We read verse 14 earlier, and I told you we'd come back and grab more of the context. But notice what the Bible says in Ephesians 4, beginning in verse number 11. Listen, God gave gifts. In verse number 8, it talks about the gave gifts unto men. In verse number 11, notice he says, and he gave some. Some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Now, we don't have time this evening to go through this and deal with all of it, but the office of apostles no longer valid for today. If you meet someone that says they're an apostle, they're either ignorant or they're lying. Because the Bible is clear that the office of apostle is no longer for today. And so we find that as we look here, you think about prophets. The idea of a prophet being a foreteller no longer exists today. The canon of Scripture is closed. If a prophet could be described as one that foretells, thus saith the Lord, we're opening up the Bible, and you want to apply the term that way, that's fine. But as far as a prophet of one that foretells, it's no longer. The canon of Scripture is closed. Notice he says in some evangelist, and some pastors and teachers. God has equipped and called men, amen, to these offices, and he gives them as a gift to the local church. For what purpose? Notice verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature, the fullness of Christ. Notice, we read it earlier, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Listen, we're to be grounded and settled in the truth. We're not to be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. The newest thing that comes up on YouTube, the most recent whatever that's populating your feed, listen, you can be grounded. I remember when I was in Bible college, how many of you remember Harold Camping? You guys remember his name, Harold Camping? I remember him. He would be the guy that would... Shall we take our next call, please? Thank you for calling Open Forum, right? And so every night I would leave. I worked for Payless Shoe Store. Some of you might not remember that place either. But Payless Shoe Store is where I worked when I was in college before I got my corporate job. And I was working there. And I would get off work, and it was just in time for Harold Camping. I don't recommend this, but this is what I did as a young Bible college student. I would listen to Harold Camping so that I could sharpen my Bible knowledge. He was all kinds of messed up with all kinds of doctrinal issues, and I would listen to those calls come in, and he would begin to give an answer, and I'd say, if you could hear me or see me, you'd think I was crazy. Driving down the road, I'd argue with the radio, and I'd say, that's not what the Bible says here. The Bible says this, and so on and so forth. Why? Listen, you know how many people followed Harold Camping? Tons of people followed him. He said that Jesus was going to return at a certain time. People sold their homes, quit their jobs, did all kinds of things. Why? Because they were following a man. Listen, God said it's not for you to know the time or the hour. And yet multitudes of people followed this guy. Unbelievable. Just read your Bible. And you know the guy's not telling the truth. Amen? We find this evening that we can be strong in the Lord, the power of His might. 2 Peter chapter 3, we looked at chapter 2, but look at what the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3. In 2 Peter chapter 3, notice verse 17 and 18 as Peter is closing out this epistle. He says this, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked fall from your own steadfastness. What a warning that Peter gives. Beware, notice again, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. And so what's the remedy? But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Spiritual growth is so vital. Paul says, I believe he wrote the book of Hebrews as the human penman, but he says in the book of Hebrews, for in the time that you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you. And listen, that's not a compliment that Paul was giving. The reality is that there were some that had been saved for a long period of time, and yet they had not grown spiritually. They were still in need of the milk, being unskillful. Listen, if you're a babe in Christ, you need the milk. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. But at some point, you want to have a diet of strong meat, belonging to them who are of full age. And we find that this evening, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8, verse 32, I mentioned it earlier. And we find this evening that the remedy for false teaching is God's Word. How do I know the truth? How can we stand and have conversation with people about all sorts of things and have confidence to be able to speak with a level of certainty? Well, because we're saying, here's what the Bible says. Everybody everywhere has an authority. Some people want their own selves to be the authority. Some people want a church to be an authority, some theologian to be an authority. I choose that the God of the universe who gave us His book, the Bible, and we sing the B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E, and I say, what's the remedy for false teaching? It's knowing your Bible. Knowing your Bible. Someone comes and says, well, what about this? Oh, let me share this verse of Scripture with you. How does that work for your systematic theology? Well, this guy said, yeah, but God said. What's more authoritative? Come on. Calvinism has crept in. It's not crept in, it's all over Europe. All over. All over. That man Peter that stood in that pulpit and thanked God for being delivered, he said, I was in a church for so many years. They taught Calvinism. Their Calvinism is a little bit different than our Calvinism. I don't say ours, like I don't believe any of it, but what's prevalent in the U.S. right now. And he said, you know, no one in that church actually really knew if they'd go to heaven or not. Because how could you ever know if you're part of the elect? What a sad way to live. Those were his words. I've never been a Calvinist. I've never sat under the teaching. I know what it is. But you can just go to a few verses. In fact, the verse that we started with this evening in 2 Peter chapter 2, the Bible says this, that they deny the Lord that bought them. How do you justify that with limited atonement? But Calvin said, but God said. And we could talk about all kinds of false teaching. And the reality is that false teaching is so prevalent, and it's leading multitudes upon multitudes astray. And this evening, my heart was burdened in those 10 days of walking and hearing and seeing multitudes upon multitudes that are deceived. Deceived. It's like the folks in Switzerland that Brother Deaton told us about. I've paid my church tax. I'm up to speed on it. I'm up to date on it. Yeah, but what does that do for you? It's organized religion. It's dead orthodoxy. It's all it is. And the enemy is perfectly fine with people being blinded from the truth. lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them. I'm so thankful for truth. I'm so thankful that I've been made free. I don't want to follow some man, some church father, some creed. We follow God's word. And when you stand upon God's word, you're on good ground. The best ground. Amen? Because God is infallible. We believe that, don't we? And if all scripture is given by inspiration of God, then this book is infallible. It is God's word. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for loving us. Thank you for the word. I thank you for the power of your word. Thank you for the truth. I pray, God, that you would help us. Lord, help us to be guarded. Help us not to be deceived by false teaching. Help us to be students of your word. Help us to spend more time reading your word than reading some commentary or some theologian, listening to some YouTube channel. Help us to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. No scriptures of any private interpretation. God, help us, guide us, and we'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All